Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that is Mr. Ken Bates. Good morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Very well.
Excellent.
Wife making good progress. Susanna making good progress. So that's also very encouraging to make us happy.
Yeah, excellent news on that front. Lots to get through. Let's start with Leeds United. Let's start. Since we last spoke, GFH are no more at Leeds United. Eleonora Sport Limited now have complete ownership of Leeds for the first time. Gold Finance House not at Ellen Road. I thought I'd get your reaction on that news that came out end of last week.
Some of the problems have been surrounding Leeds for Massimo have been GFH. They haven't got any money, despite their protestations to the contrary, because Massimo was trying to do a fundraising operation, I think last month or the month before, and they just wouldn't put their money up because they hadn't got any. So Massimo was hamstrung. And eventually they've finally done a deal. All they were interested in is bolting up their balance sheet. So apparently what they did, he got the shares for nothing in return for giving them a debenture over the £17 million they allegedly owed, going to be repaid over a very long time. Now, the significance of that is they can keep that £17 million in their balance sheet, even though apparently it's going to take 15, 16 years to pay it back. They can show it as an asset in their balance sheet, which is pretty shoddy anyway. And the important thing is, they never put £17 million into the club. See, how there is, the club owe them money. Anyway, I can tell you why. As David Hay told me, he's put huge management charges through the club, expenses and management charges, which they never expected to collect. But by creating the debt, it gave them an asset for their balance sheet. But good riddance. And all the morons that supported GFH, including self-styled ex-moron Gary Cooper, must be wondering, are they really happy with their handiwork over the last 4 years? And, of course, they're continuing, and I'll just carry on what I said before. That is, bad behaviour, pointless bad behaviour, doesn't achieve anything. And in fact, it means that they, the demonstrators, by not behaving in a dignified way, doesn't get the respect of anybody, even if they've got a good argument. But more importantly, they put off would-be investors. They think, why should I get involved with a rabble like that? And it's totally unnecessary. The vast majority of Leeds fans are law-abiding, cheerful and supportive of their club. But they sure really should make themselves more vocally open about the fact that they do not approve of the small minority that makes all the noise. They're the old saying, empty vessels make the most sound. And get behind the club. A very welcome victory on Tuesday night means Leeds are out of, now in the bottom third, but out of the relegation zone. And let's get behind the team and behind the manager.
Well, that's some sentiments I think a lot of fans are echoing. Is getting behind the manager, because I think after the Huddersfield game there was a lot of calls for well, maybe Gary Monk to leave, which seems a little bit early on in the season for that, KB.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. It's stupid. You bring a manager in, you stick to him through thick and thin. And when I took over at Chelsea in 1982, they were in a terrible state, and we avoided relegation to in Division 2, avoided relegation in Division 3 by the penultimate game of the season, winning 1-0 away at Bolton. And there was chance and sheets. I mean, it wasn't as bad in those days as today. Don knew that their manager should go. But I stuck by him. And the next year, we won promotion on goal difference by being champions. So if you've got a good man, you have to remember the Monk was appointed very late in the summer, which was a mistake. He should have been given the summer to settle himself in and get to know the players. And I always said, judge it by the end of September. Well, there's still a couple of weeks to go before we get to the end of September. Let's see what the league table is on the 30th. Then take a view. Monk's a good manager. Did a great job at Swansea. So I think he should never have left it. But he got Swansea up into the Premiership on the smell of an oily rag. And he wouldn't give him enough time for his next job. But I think Monk is worth standing by and supporting through thick and thin. And you know, when Ferguson took over Manchester United, he would never have been the success today that he was then. It was 7 years before he won his first trophy. 7 years. Then he became the most successful manager of all time. But the board stood by him. And I think that's it. You're going to have consistency and patience. And don't forget, as I said before, with the current takeovers of the Premiership, there's only five clubs in the Premiership now not owned by foreign owners. But if the other five were taken over by foreign billionaires from China or Russia or India or America, so you had 20 billionaires owning 20 Premiership clubs, they'd still be free relegated in May. So money helps. It doesn't prove anything. It isn't conclusive. And more importantly, where's the sense of honour, sense of success? You can buy something. Far better if you go and build it and win something. And in Yorkshire, I mean, Leeds United are so lucky because in Yorkshire, in Biggish County outside London, they've got a prolific supply of young kids. And what we really want, ideally, is that some of the foreigners to go, some of the Yorkshire kids to come through, and then you've got a decent homegrown club, as we had in previous days. So, it's taking encouragement from Tuesday night, and look forward and planning the future. Can be done. Look at Leicester.
Certainly can be done if you can look at Leicester. But let's move on to some other topics now, KB, because certainly news this week about the UK's political map is set to be redrawn in the run-up to the next general election in 2020. And the parliamentary constituencies, the number of them will fall considerably, reducing the number of MPs, and the boundary changes. One party are pretty happy about them, another party not particularly happy about them. But a change is
details
happening.
Details haven't been spelt out.
Yeah.
Let's set the scene before we discuss it, because, as usual, the Labour, the Corbynistic branch of the Labour Party, are making all shouting and bawling, trying to obscure the facts. The fact is, as a democracy, every seat in Parliament should be representing roughly equal number of constituents. Now, that was okay in the old days when people didn't move. But today you have movement. People come from Liverpool and come down and live in London. Or people go from London and go and live in Newcastle, Aberdeen. And as a result of that, some constituencies get more voters and some get less. That's inevitable. I mean, at the moment, you have some constituencies where over 200,000 people are represented by one MP. Other constituencies where only 40,000 people vote for their MP. It's not fair. So what was established above politics? The Independent Boundary Commission. And what they do, they work on a 5-year cycle, and they review every boundary, political boundary. And they adjust the boundaries of each constituency according to the movement of the population. Now, it's complicated this year by reducing the number of MPs from 650 to 600, which is a good idea anyway, because that's still twice what they have in the United States, who've got, what, four or five times our population. And the theory is, in principle, an average of 74,000 people, give or take 5%, should be represented by one MP. That's what the boundary changes take place. Now, inevitably, there are winners and losers. Easy come, easy go. Swings and roundabouts. So it's not gerrymandering, as some Labour politicians are screaming. It's not. It's totally independent. And they have to take soundings and consultations, which takes time. Now, some people are shouting that 2 million people are disenfranchised. Well, where do they get that number from? Who's counted? And some people aren't franchised, they haven't bothered to vote. For example, I recently got voting papers, which I'll throw up and put in the bin. I live in Monaco. I don't think it's right that I should vote on British politics. Might have a view on them, but I think I should decide whether Charlie Brown or Billy Bloggs should be the MP for whichever constituency I think I'm in. So the boundary commission is a good idea, and it's every 5 years, and government can't change it, and nor should they be able to. To be independent and honest and open and straightforward. Then, of course, then you turn to the House of Lords. How can we have 600 democratically elected MPs in the lower house and have 800 in the so-called upper house consisting of down donors, political cronies, failed MPs, deadbeats, and cronies of the Prime Minister and leader of the opposition of the day. And that has got to be slashed. Many, or the other alternative is you allow them to be Lord, but don't allow them in the chamber. But on the other hand, medals now like being and honours are being handed out with the rations. They don't mean anything anymore. In fact, like somebody cynically said not so long ago, well, I know I'm an honourable man, because I haven't been given a gong, or a medal, or a knighthood, or a peerage. And the guy had a big point. Situation now where any serious successful person, honest and honourable, should ask themselves, do I really want one of these honours? Because they're worthless now anyway. The House of Lords should come down to about 400, or they should be restricted. And then we can get back to running the country properly again, which is slowly deteriorated for years.
Well, also, KB, some things that have been making the news this week, certainly that some of the higher paid people at the BBC are going to have to come out and tell us exactly how much they're being paid, which has certainly been shrouded in mystery before. And it looks like some of the payoffs that have been handed out to BBC bosses and in the NHS as well have been revealed as well. So there's a lot of interesting information coming out about maybe some of the overspending at places like the BBC and the NHS.
But it's not just the BBC and the NHS. It's the government generally. and also where the money's being spent. Let's deal with Inland Revenue, HMRC. You've now had this scandal this week. So there's a company, they decided to subcontract some of their work to a company called Concentrix. But Concentrix is an American company. So why are we giving taxpayers money to an American company to do something that could be quite easily done, probably better, or must be better according to the reports, by an English company? So, or a British company. So why are we unnecessarily spending our money abroad? It could be spent at home, creating more jobs at home, and paying taxes at home, and being held to account. But that's not the only thing. HMRC used to write to me in Monaco, and I had one letter give me a deadline to answer a certain question of it. The letter didn't arrive until a week after the deadline. Not that I'm inclined to respond to deadlines anyway. And then I looked at the envelope, and although the office that was dealing with it was based in Bradford, the letter had been posted from Newcastle and then sent across the Netherlands and delivered by Nedpost. So why are HMRC spending British taxpayers' money giving the services and creating jobs in the Netherlands when they could have given it to the Royal Mail and created more jobs in Britain, saved foreign exchange, and contribute towards our balance of payments? What's called the trade deficit. Now, and who's responsible for them? And the thing is, the Inland Revenue is so inefficient, if not incompetent. I'll give you one small example. I had a letter recently from the department based in Wolverhampton telling me I owed them £193. And if I wanted query it or discuss the matter, I could ring this number. So I rang the number, had a choice of 9 alternatives, which button to push. I think I pushed number 7. A very charming lady stated all lines were busy, but I'd be in a line in the queue, blah, blah, blah. After waiting 15 minutes, I just put a phone down and found the envelope into the waste paper basket. The letter was rude, it didn't give any explanation at all. And though I was invited to ring to discuss it with this lady, just got the usual answer phone. In fact, I listen to some women answer phone voices so often my wife thinks I'm having an affair with them. And they chase silly things, chase me for £193, but if you're Amazon or Google, well, you can get away with hundreds of millions. Doesn't make any difference, does it? Providing you buy the right inspector of taxes and nice lunches for the Savoy. The Inland Revenue system of collection is appalling, but it also partly is not totally their fault because it is so bloody complicated. Apparently, the tax rules are 10 times as long as the Bible, which is food for thought. There's always some clause or sub-clause or you can't keep up with it. And it's very simple. All they need to do is put a stroke on all those rules and regulations and simplify them, which would save a fortune being spent on the accountants and lawyers who are planning complicated tax dodges. Legal, complicated tax dodges. Whereas if these complicated rules weren't set up, weren't in place, you wouldn't have to do all that anyway. But also, we're told that, taking the National Health Service, the pips are going to squeak, we haven't got any money. And then we read that a lady in the Southern National Health Trust who's on £240,000 a year, totally bloody incompetent. Her chairman created a job, didn't exist before, and gave it to her without any interviews or reward, at the same salary, £240,000. Well, that's criminal. And there are so things, whenever they cut, it's coppers, police force, sack a few bobbies. NHS, sack a few nurses. But meanwhile, don't disturb the people at the top, earning £200,000, £300,000, £500,000 a year, with gold-plated pensions. The Bank of England, who are responsible by keep cutting interest rates, but damaging hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people's pensions, have paid an absolute fortune into their own gold-plated pension fund last month to make sure their pensions are safe. It's disgraceful. But who's got the balls to tackle it? Well, Margaret Hodge, who is the former chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, which committee's job is to call people to account. She's retired and she's written a book in some detail. And it's freely available. It's been serialised in a national newspaper for the last 10 days. It's frightening. Give one small example. We're going to build two aircraft carriers. The cost of $2.6 billion. They kept changing the specification. The cost is now up to $8.2 billion. We still haven't got an aircraft carrier. But the thing is, these sums are being signed off by people like admirals and generals who've got no knowledge of the outside world. They've been taken to the cleaners. None rings around. Why? Well, it doesn't matter. It's no money, is it? Like foreign aid. Why the hell are we doing all this foreign aid? Who says we've got to give 7.7%. The idiot Cameron who passed it into law. But one of the things Theresa May should be doing when she gets time to draw a breath is to abolish that law. There's no other country in the world, even America's doing it. And some people are doing peanuts. But most of it's being wasted anyway. £4 million to finance the Ethiopians. Version of Spice Girls, several hundred thousand pounds, see if we can work out a system whereby Patagonian cows don't fart as much. It's ridiculous. And people are signing these things off, being paid to do it. Well, they should be given a map showing the way to the local job centre. Oh, and of course, very good point, if you're French and you originally come from Africa, and you're living in Paris, and you like the idea of coming to England, so you then go to the NHS, who'll give you a grant, a three-year grant, to learn how to do the job. Three-year grant. I'm talking, of course, to the famous gentleman with the eight kids who's living in Luton and turned down a five-bedroom house because it was too small. But somebody interestingly pointed out he'd been here for 4 years. So why isn't he working? Because his training contract was for three years. So in theory, he should be working for a year, not be on benefits, and paying national health insurance and tax, supporting his family. If he wants to play by the rules, then he's got to keep them. And that's another reason for Brexit. We can stop this immigration and these parasites coming in and sponging off our country, and having Islam hate preachers drawing £500,000 in benefits while he's preaching for the destruction of Western civilization. Why? Why isn't anybody talking this out? Come on, wake up. Let's have some worthwhile MPs causing trouble, asking awkward questions and sweeping this stuff under the carpet. And then perhaps, A, we can reduce our taxes. B, we can clean up our streets. C, we can reduce unemployment. And D, we can spend the money on finding a better NHS and a better country for our citizens. So come on, don't sit there and take it. Get out and start complaining. Ask, harassing your MP, asking questions for specific answers. When the next election comes along, or the by-election, for example, one that's coming up in Yorkshire soon, that's the time. Put the candidates on the spot and don't take the waffle. Demand specific answers to specific questions. One of course would be to Mourinho. Are you selling the club or not? So why don't you come out and tell your fans what your plans are, take them into your confidence, and then we can all march on together.
Well, KB, a fine point to end up on. We'll catch up with you at the same time next week.
Thank you very much, and good luck, and fingers crossed for Saturday.